second service, we could have church today, huh? Man, how about we give the Lord a hand clap of praise, man? Wow. It is for His presence. Man, He's with you. He is for you, man. God's for you. He's with you. He's here with us right now. God inhabits the praises of His people, man. So thank you for bringing Him into this place today. Started off with a baptism, man, and just continued right through. So see what God wants to say to us, man. Now, welcome those of you on the live stream. Appreciate you being here with us, man. And appreciate every person here today. It says something about you and your walk with Jesus that you came to church today, man. That's significant. So thanks for coming today. Next week's Mother's Day, man. So for all the women in your life that really matter to you, you should honor them next Sunday. It's coming right up. And I want to make a quick announcement before I jump in on this message, man. We've got a new associate student pastor. We've been in a search for this guy for some time, and God brought him to us. His name's Braden Harris. His wife, Megan. He's got a little four-year-old named Boone. I think I got a picture of him. I'll show up here in just a moment. So they're going to be helping CJ with our student ministry. There he is. He's come from the Midland, Odessa area. It's great to have him. He may be here in the service, man. You out there somewhere, bro, anywhere? Well, right over here, man. So anyway, it's great to have you guys, man. We're excited for you to be here. We're going to be working with our students, and we need some help, man. We got a bunch of students coming to our church right now, so great to have you guys, man. God bless you. Picked a good Sunday to come and be here with us. So we'll have the opportunity for you guys to get to know him a little bit more in the future, but it's great to have him. Well, if you got your Bible, open up to Galatians chapter 5, man. We're on a series on the Holy Spirit, and we're sticking with it, man. See what God wants to do. I want to talk to you about walking in the Spirit today. When Jesus was in the upper room, I mentioned this verse a few times, John chapter 16, the night he was betrayed, the day before he was crucified, he tells his apostles, man, hey, it's good that I'm going away, all right? And because if I don't go away, I cannot send the counselor to you. But if I go, I can send him to you. That verse in John 16, that word counselor right there is a Greek word, and the word is paraclete. So I'm going to teach you a Greek word today. The Bible's written, majority of the New Testament, in Greek. Paraclete, it's a name for the Holy Spirit. Here in the CSB, they translate it counselor. Sometimes it's translated comforter or advocate, because he's somebody that's for you. He's your advocate, man. He stands in the presence of God like Jesus. He's our intercessor. He's for you. When we sing that, man, that's a reality. He's your advocate. He's your helper. Sometimes it's translated as a helper. You get in trouble with the law, man. You're looking for some help. I need a lawyer, man. I need an advocate. This is the Holy Spirit. He is our helper. God gives him to us to help us. Now, you might say, why would God do that? And the reason is because you're going to need it, right? We need a helper. We need somebody to help us through this life that we're living, man. And so God gives us two things. He gives us the Word of God, and He gives us the Holy Spirit to help us through this life. And God, if you're a believer in Jesus, man, you have the Holy Spirit. He's in you. He's with you. And some people just don't really rely upon them, and you don't really use Him like you should, all right? And my wife and I were talking about this the other night. She's doing a little book study on the book of Ephesians, and she came across an illustration by a lady named Wendy Alsop about this woman named Hetty Green. And she was alive in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and she had a nickname. She was known as the Wicked Witch of Wall Street. And the reason she had that name is because she had so much money, but she was so tight with her money, man. And there's a story goes that she actually had a son that broke his leg, and she drove around so long looking for a free clinic that he wound up getting gangrene in his leg and had to have it amputated. And yet when she died, they estimated her net worth was in the hundreds of millions of dollars. And as this book said, man, she just never tapped into her wealth. And that's kind of the way it is sometimes with us. God's given us a helper in the Holy Spirit, and we never really tap into what He wants to do in our lives, right? So when you start talking about the Holy Spirit, you know, we mentioned this last week. It begins with being born of the Holy Spirit. Everybody in here has a human nature, all right? We're just born with human nature. And sometimes we blame people's behavior on human nature. Like, I saw a video the other night. This guy was in a road rage. If you ever see his videos, he was in this road rage. And then he got stopped in traffic. He was so mad that he jumps out of his car, runs up there, and just starts pounding this guy's driver's side window with his fist. I'm like, I'm not sure that's going to help you. We see people do crazy stuff, and then we're like, well, that's just human nature, right? Or we see like a three-year-old and they're like eating a cookie and you're like, are you eating that cookie? And they immediately just self-protect and go, no, right? And it's because you're like, well, that's just human nature. You have to teach a kid to tell the truth because they'll lie by human nature. It's just our human nature. Here's what the Bible says about human nature. Nobody, all of us have a human nature, and nobody with a human nature is going to see the kingdom of God unless they're changed. Everybody has a human nature, but nobody with a human nature is going to see the kingdom of God unless that nature is changed. And the Bible has a lot of phrases for this human nature that we have. Sometimes it's called the old nature. Sometimes it's called the old man, the old self, sometimes referred to as the flesh. No one's going to see the kingdom of God unless their nature is changed, because the flesh gives birth to flesh, but only the Spirit can give birth to the Spirit. Jesus says in John chapter 3, verse 3, no one will see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. They have to be born of the Spirit. You cannot get into heaven on your own nature. It has to be changed. But when you make a decision, say, man, I'm not good enough to get into heaven, you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died for you to pay the penalty for your sins, and you make a decision to turn from your sins and trust in Jesus. Or you say, hey, you give your life to Jesus Christ. At the instant you do that, man, something happens in you that's so radical, the Bible refers to it as being born again or born of the Spirit. And the Spirit comes inside of you and changes your nature. Changes it from your old nature to a new nature. You literally become a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Do you not know that you're a new creation? The old nature has gone, the new has come. The Holy Spirit comes to live within you to guide you and direct you in your life. This is what happens. Now, the question is, if you're here today and you've trusted in Jesus, you're a believer, you say, well, what happens next? How does the Holy Spirit work in my life? This is Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, Paul says, walk by the Spirit. Life is just a walk, man. That's what the Bible refers to as your life. It's a walk. You're going to walk through life. He says you should have the Holy Spirit walking with you. You should keep in step with the Holy Spirit. You and the Holy Spirit ought to be walking together. You ought to be doing what the Spirit wants you to do, not doing what the Spirit doesn't want you to do. Walk with the Spirit. I say walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. They are opposed to each other so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Paul says, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. We are born with a sin nature, and dude, this nature that we have causes us to sin. You can't get out and you can't stop. You're in bondage to it. The whole entire book of Galatians is upon the fact that how Jesus Christ comes to set us free. What does Jesus set us free from? This old nature. When he dies on the cross, he comes down in the flesh, lives the perfect life, dies on the cross to pay the penalty of your sin nature, so that when you trust in Jesus, you're free from that nature. You're free to live. And you might be here today and say, that's right, as a believer, by grace, I'm free. I can live however I want to. I'm free. That's true. You can choose to live however you want to. But Jesus sets you free so you don't have to sin anymore. You can walk in freedom, right? It's your choice to walk in freedom. The first time the word free is used in the Bible is in Genesis 2:16, where God says to Adam and Eve, you're free. You're free to eat of any tree in the fruit, any tree in the garden. It's our choice. We can choose how we want to live. If you walk in the Spirit, is your choice. If you choose to walk in the Spirit, he sets you free, because Jesus sets you free from this old sin nature, but there's still a remnant of it hanging around. All right? The power and the penalty of sin's been broken, but there's still a remnant of this flesh walking around, and it still has desires that he wants you to obey. So Paul says, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Because here you are, you're in the flesh, and then you get saved and the Holy Spirit comes to live within inside of you. It's called the Holy Spirit for a reason. And now there's a conflict going on inside of you between the flesh that has the old desires and the Spirit that has the new desires. So the only way you can walk in the Spirit is you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So to walk in the Spirit gives you victory over sin, for the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what against the flesh, because they're opposed. In other words, say you're a believer, you still got your flesh, and your flesh says, dude, there's some things I want to do, man. I want to jump out of my car and go pound on that guy's window right there because I'm mad at him, and I want to express my anger, or I want to go do this, or I want to watch that, or I want to talk about that person, or I want to tell that person what I'm really thinking, or I want to go out and party, or I want to go out and drink. You got all these desires of the flesh, and say you go out and do some of those things, but as a believer, there's something in you, this Holy Spirit, and when you go out to do the things that you used to do before you got saved and it never bothered you at all, now there's something inside your brain that's going, bro, I just don't know if you should do that. I don't know if you should say that. I don't know if you should act that way anymore. I don't know if you should do that anymore. The Spirit opposes the desires of the flesh. But it goes the other way as well. So say you desire, you're a new believer, say, man, I want to know more about Jesus. I want to come to church. Dude, I want to worship. I want to learn how to worship. I want to learn how to study my Bible. I want to really press in on the Spirit. And you get on Sunday morning, so I'm going to go to church. The very first of your flesh is like, really? Dude, it rained last week. It rained last night. You should stay home and sleep in. Right? The desires of the flesh are opposed to the things of the Spirit. But if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. When these desires of our flesh come up, we immediately think, dude, I just need to try harder. I just need to do more. As an act of my will, I need to suppress my flesh. Now, if you couldn't suppress your flesh enough to be saved to start with, what makes you think you can do it now? It is not an act of your will that stops your flesh. It's actually you surrendering your will to the power of the Holy Spirit. There's two desires. What you want to do is make the desire of the Spirit greater than the desire of the flesh. And to do that, you just need to understand how great the Spirit really is. All right? So, in other words, sometimes we'll try to put ourselves under the law. And the law is saying, hey, don't do this. And you say, but the more you think about not doing that, the more you can't stop thinking about it. And the law actually makes us sin more. If you walk by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So I'll illustrate it this way. My wife can make great chocolate chip cookies. All right? I don't know if you've ever had one, but she's had a lot of practice. She makes a great chocolate chip cookie. She had a lot of practice with my girls, and then with our grandkids we make it. She makes really great chocolate chip cookies, man. I love to get a chocolate chip cookie hot. It's delicious. Sometimes I don't even have to wait till they're hot because I'll just eat the dough, right? Anybody like that? Chocolate chip cookie, man. It makes great chocolate chip cookies. But sometimes, man, I'll make the mistake of thinking that I'll see a store-bought chocolate chip cookie, you know, like a Chips Ahoy wannabe. It's like a knockoff Chips Ahoy, you know what I'm talking about? You'll see those little chocolate chip cookies, and your brain will think, oh, that's a chocolate chip cookie, and you kind of think it's going to be as good as a homemade one. But those store-bought chocolate chip cookies are a little bit like sin or the flesh. It promises one thing, but it never really delivers. All right? And this is what sin does. Sin promises you satisfaction, but it always doesn't last for the long term. And it promises you one thing, but it gives you something else. And that's what happens with the chocolate chip cookie. Now, the way the law works is when you start talking to in your flesh, trying not to do something. So the law says, don't do that. Well, it just makes you think about it more. So it'd be kind of like you ever go on a diet and you go, dude, I'm not going to eat more bread for a whole week. I'm going to go on a diet. The very first thing that happens to you, somebody gives you a hamburger. You're like, well, I got to eat it. Got to be polite. I got to eat it. Then you go out, somebody has Italian food, or they make a bunch of homemade. You wind up eating more bread than you ever would have eaten when you decided not to eat it anymore. Because it just, in other words, store-bought chocolate chip cookie, man. I want you to do me a favor. Don't think about a store-bought chocolate chip cookie. Don't think about what it looks like. Don't think about ones you've eaten. Don't think about it. Now, the more I tell you not to think about it, what's everybody thinking about right now? A store-bought chocolate chip cookie. Now, my wife and I have this place we really like to eat, and we used to go there when we were young, when we were first kind of
when we first had our kids, we lived in Dallas. I was going to seminary. It's called Houston's. Had one in Dallas. And we liked to go there because it was kind of like fine dining. It was like where you went if you could afford it one time a year, maybe on a birthday or an anniversary. If we saved up our money and said we really want to go out to eat at a really nice place, we'd go to this restaurant called Houston. You had to get your reservation. It's all nice and dim. The food was delicious. Cost you a ton of money. Like a special place to go. It no longer has the name Houston. I think it's called Bartlett's. They have one in Austin. But it was a really fun place to go. So we'd go there if we'd save up our money. So if you could just imagine, me and my wife's our anniversary, we go to Houston's. We save our money, we say, we're going to go to Houston's. It's our anniversary. So we get there, we sit down, waiter comes over, what are you guys doing here? We're like, man, it's our anniversary. We're really celebrating. They're like, okay, what are you going to eat? Well, I'm like, dude, I'm eating a ribeye steak because it's my anniversary, right? Bring me the ribeye, market price, whatever. Just bring it on over here. And my wife probably have a salad or something. So she kind of offset the price by that. And it's a great meal, man. I mean, we're at this booth. It's a big booth. Lights are dim. It's a nice restaurant. And, man, you have this great meal. It's delicious. And you get done, and you're sitting there, and you're full. And, you know, your wife, she's doing whatever wives do after they eat. Maybe gets her purse out to put her lipstick on or whatever. And for some reason, in her purse, store-bought chocolate chip cookie. It's just down there in the bottom of the purse, you know, rolling around. She picks it out. I don't know how this got in there, sets it on the table. It's got, like, you know, purse crumbs on it, you know, like I don't know what's in the bottom of a woman's purse, you know. I'm just saying, nothing you really want to touch with your hands, but it's on the cookie, and she sets it there on the table, and you're just sitting there, you're kind of looking at it, and you're kind of thinking, man, I could use some dessert. I mean, you're a guy, right? You're just like, dude, I could probably brush off that stuff right there, and store-bought, I could probably, you're just thinking about it, man. The more you think about it, you're just getting ready to reach out there and take a bite of this thing. And all at once, the waiter shows up, the head waiter, and he's got his apron on and everything. He looks really nice. He comes up and says, hey, how was your meal? We're like, it was great. Well, I hear it's your anniversary. We're like, yeah, it's our anniversary. So it's a cute couple. I go, well, we know. And he says, dude, because it's your anniversary, we're going to comp you a dessert. And all at once, this guy walks up. He's got his little, you know, towel on his arm and a little plate. And on top of that plate, man, he picks up this dessert. It's a glass bowl. Sets it right down there in the middle. And he says, look, man, we got this dessert. We started off with a homemade brownie that just came out of the oven. It's still hot, man. We started off putting that in the bottom of that bowl. And then we begin to cover it with vanilla ice cream, man. This creamy, expensive vanilla ice cream, like the really good stuff. We started putting that on top of the brownie, and then we covered it with homemade chocolate hot fudge. I mean, just poured it over the top. It's kind of starting to melt a little bit. It's running down into the brownie on the sides, and you're like, yeah. And then he's like, and then we took homemade whipped cream and just put the whipped cream on top of that with some nuts, and then we put two cherries because it's your anniversary, and we did this caramel drizzle. And then there's these two spoons in there. You know the spoons I'm talking about? Not like a normal spoon, but they're like bigger. Like a dessert spoon, because at that moment, you're thinking, I'm fixing to chow down on this, man, because this looks delicious. It's just kind of sitting there melting a little bit, and you're getting ready to eat it, man. And at that moment, you know what you're not thinking about? You're not thinking about that chocolate chip cookie, man, because it's been replaced by something better. And this is what Paul says. Walk by the Spirit. Press in on the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit and you not fulfill the desires of the flesh, man, because they're nothing compared to the Spirit. You walk by the Spirit and you not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And then just to drive the point home, he goes, let me just tell you what it looks like if you decide to walk by the flesh, all right, to live in the flesh. And he gives us an example, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. In other words, this is written 2,000 years ago. This is what the works of the flesh were then, and it describes exactly what they are today. Man, they're obvious. This is what happens if you live in the flesh. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry. You love something more than you love Jesus. Sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I'm warning you about these things that I've warned you before, that those who practice such things like this, those as a habit of their life, that their life is just described by such things as these, they will not inherit the kingdom of God because their nature has never been changed. And it's just evident by the way they're living their life. Honestly, man, who wants this in their life? This is the life I used to live. I know this life. Who wants this in their life? Hatred, dissensions, factions, right? Moral impurity. This is what you want for your kids. Hey, I want to pass something on to you. Let's go out and do some carousing, some strife, some outburst of anger, some selfish ambition. It always has to be me. This is what the Spirit sets you free from. See, the walking in the Spirit, man, gives you victory over sin, but it also enables you to bear spiritual fruit, because in contrast to the works of the flesh, he says, but in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. In the opposite, when you walk in the Spirit, it enables you to bear spiritual fruit. In other words, it doesn't change. The Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily change your circumstances. It just changes how you respond to your circumstances. It changes the character of who you are on the inside that is then reflected on the outside, who you are on the inside, man. This is what's in you, bearing fruit. See, it says these are the works of the flesh. In other words, that's what you do versus this. No, this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is what God does. When you walk in the Spirit produces this in you: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. See, this is what we want in life. And what happens sometimes as believers, man, we know we need this. And so we try to generate it by our own power. Like, we know as a believer, dude, I should love. I should be joyful. I should be patient. But the only way you can have it is if there's life in you and the Holy Spirit produces it. So what we try to do is we try to manufacture it under our own power. But when we do that, well, it's fake. It's like that fruit your grandparents had that was plastic that you thought was real, and you went over there until you touched it and you're like, oh, it's fake. So, like, I'll illustrate this by illustration by John Piper. John Piper, famous pastor, wrote a book called Desiring God, probably one of his most famous illustrations. He says, suppose it's a husband and wife and it's their anniversary. And the husband comes home and he rings the doorbell and the wife opens the door and the husband whips out a bouquet of flowers and says, honey, I love you. Happy anniversary. And she says, oh, for me? He says, yeah, not only that, pulls out a box of chocolates. Says, honey, I love you. Happy anniversary. And she says, oh, for me? He said, not only that, pulls out a diamond necklace. Oh, happy anniversary, baby. I love you. Gives her a diamond necklace. She's like, oh, for me? Man, I know it's our anniversary, but why so much? Why so much? And the husband says, well, it's our anniversary. That's what I'm supposed to do. That wah, wah, wah by all the women in the room. Why is that? Because it's fake. It's fake. As compared to the husband comes home, rings the doorbell, the wife opens the door, pulls out the flowers. Honey, I love you. Happy anniversary. She goes, oh, for me? She says, yes. And not only that, whips out the chocolates. Honey, I love you. Happy anniversary. She said, for me? She said, not only that, whips out the diamond necklace. Honey, I love you. Happy anniversary. He says, for me? I know it's her anniversary, but why so much? And he says, man, because I love you. I love you. And you're worth it all. I wish I could do more. It's nothing compared to how much I love you. It's just real love, joy, the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. He says, now, those who belong to Jesus, those who willingly belong to Jesus, have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. If you live by the Spirit, if you've been born again and trusted in Jesus, and the Spirit of God lives in you, then you should keep in step. You should willingly walk with the Spirit as a matter of your life. This should be your desire. And this is the real key. You have to choose. Paul the Apostle is a guy, we would say, walked in the Spirit. You should just look at the things that Paul the Apostle did that were just unbelievable. I mean, we're still reading about the guy today, changed Christianity, reached the world with Jesus in like his lifetime. It's the most unbelievable thing. He didn't do it under his own power. He did it by the power of the Holy Spirit because he walked in the Spirit, right? And Paul says in Galatians 2:20, one of his famous verses, he says, "For I have been crucified with Christ." Galatians 2:20. "But I have been crucified with Christ." That little word "I" right there, you know what that is? That's his old nature. That's his human nature. That's his flesh. That's his sin nature. I, and guess what? Everybody in this room has one. As in, I want to do what I want to do. As in, I make the decisions. As in, I'm in control. As in, I'm the smartest one in the room. As in, I'm the best and I'm in charge of my life. I have an I and I'm in control of my life. And yet Paul the Apostle says, "For I have been crucified by Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. He's for me, delivered himself up for me." Paul was completely committed to the Holy Spirit. Now, I had studied this verse one time as a young man, not soon after I got saved, and I heard this. I was excited about it. I thought, man, God's actually speaking to me about this verse. I came home to tell my wife, and when I got home, she was laying on the bed crying. I don't know if this ever happens to you as a married couple. You got a good day. You come home. Your wife's crying. I said, "Hey, what are you crying about?" We had this little plaque. And this plaque said, "Jesus Christ is the Lord of this house." And she just looked at me and held that plaque up and she said, "I just don't believe this is true." And the fact was, it wasn't true. I've been born again, I was a believer, but there was areas of my life that I still controlled, that I was over, that I did what I wanted to do, that I did what I wanted to do. Didn't matter what the Spirit told me to do. I mean, I just did what I wanted to do, right? And that's the way it is with us, man. It's the way it is probably with you. This is what keeps you from walking in the Spirit, because you've never really yielded to the Spirit. Like the way you get saved is you come to the point you say, "My sin nature keeps me from living this. I got to turn from that. I got to turn from my sin, and I'm going to trust everything with Jesus." I mean, that's the basis of salvation. Confess with your mouth, "Jesus is Lord." What I'm saying, to walk in the Spirit, you have to make the same commitment to the Holy Spirit. You have to say, "You're in control and not me. You're in control of my money. I know you're in control of my time. You're in control of my hobbies. You're in control of what I read and what I watch and where I go and who I talk to, how much money I spend, how I treat my wife, how I treat my husband, what I do when I get mad. You're in control." It's a completely different way of living. But when you walk in the Spirit, then it becomes his responsibility to take care of you. You have Apostle Paul. He says in Galatians 6:17, "I bear on my body the marks of Jesus." What's Paul talking about? Well, the Holy Spirit had taken Paul to some really exciting places, but it had cost him. It tells in 2 Corinthians 11 that he had received 39 lashes 5 different times in his ministry. He'd been beaten with rods 3 different times. He'd been stoned and left for dead 1 time and shipwrecked 1 time. He had scars on his body that proved that he was completely committed to whatever Jesus Christ said. Paul describes himself this way in Romans chapter 1, verse 1. I, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. That word bondservant right there is doulos in the Greek. It's mostly translated slave. But it's a little bit different of a slave. It literally means a slave by choice. I'm a bond servant. I'm a slave by choice. There's actually a couple of verses in the Old Testament that deal with this specifically. One of them is in Exodus chapter 12, and the other was in Deuteronomy 15. He says, if you have a Hebrew slave, you should only keep him for 6 years. On the seventh year, you should set him free. This is Old Testament law, Exodus 12. You should only keep him for 6 years. In the year of Jubilee, you should set him free, because according to God's economy, all slaves are meant to be set free for nothing. They don't have to pay you anything. You just set them free. But suppose that slave wants to serve you because he loves you, because he's come to know your family and it's gone well with him as being your slave, and he, by a free choice of his own will, decides he wants to remain your slave. Then there's a process for that. You should take him to your house. You take an awl, which is like a thing you'd make a hole with in leather. You'd put him up against the door, and you would make a hole through his ear with an awl into the door frame, and thereby he would say, I want to be your slave forever. I'll read it to you. This is from Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 16. If your slave says to you, I don't want to leave you, because he loves you and your family and is well off with you, take it all and pierce through his ear into the door, and he will become your slave forever. Is that a crazy thing? An awl piercing an ear into the door? Right? I read an article by this guy named Art Ackland. And he said, man, a nail piercing through flesh, blood on a door frame, scars and holes that are permanently affixed to a person's body. Does that sound familiar? It's exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. The blood of the door over the doorpost in Exodus to set us free from the penalty of sin, nailed to a cross with scars and holes in his hand that are still there to this day. And in the process, he becomes a door through which we can walk through and be completely set free. And then he offers his Holy Spirit to walk with us, to help us live a life that will bring him glory and bring us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness in our own life. And the choice is yours to accept it or not. And if you surrender completely unto the Holy Spirit, he'll begin to work in your life in a way that'll change your life completely. He'll give you power, victory over sin. He'll bear fruit of the Holy Spirit, and he'll reveal the fact that your heart is completely surrendered to him. I want to close with one last song by Wes. I'm going to ask Wes to come on out here and prepare to do that song. And I want to pray for you. You know, when I walked in on my wife that night and she was crying and told me that, I made a decision that night. It was a long time ago. I was a young man. And this is kind of the way I roll, because I'm not really that spiritual person. But I can remember laying down on my bed that night and I said, okay, Jesus, I'll try this. I'll give you 2 weeks. For the next 2 weeks, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Whatever you don't want me to do, I won't do. That was a prayer I prayed. Everything in my life changed in that moment. Why? Because I inadvertently made a decision to walk by the Spirit. This is what God wants you to do, man. But you have to choose. You have to surrender. You have to ask. You have to receive, and then you have to relax, man, and let the Spirit do what the Spirit wants to do in you, and you'll experience him in the process. Listen to this song. We'll be dismissed after that.